When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
See that? See that? Tattooed right around that woman's pussy.
There's like a 30% chance that one of my balls will turn black and like die.
I used to rock and fire.
It's a rich dick history.
Hello and welcome. We are back. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. Me, host, your dear friend, Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining the program. Thank you very much for reaching out. We love having you as part of the show. If you would like to reach out to us, you can do that. I'm not doing this every week, so you guys got to pay attention. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. The voicemail line, I haven't given it out in a while, so if you want to be one of those people that wants to hear your voice on the show, please do so. Please reach out via voicemail. 949-464-TBLS. As well, you can like our Facebook page, the Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Please subscribe to the show on iTunes. Rate and review the show there. That is a great help to us. And of course, patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. That is where you can subscribe to bonus content that we do, where we give you a little extra. We do a little bit more that only our Patreon subscribers can hear. So if you are so inclined, go there, patreon.com/theballerlifestyle, and check us out there. One more thing. If you did not hear this is episode 159. If you did not hear episode 158, please go back and check that out. We talked about a chiropractor that's pioneering a new treatment for gluing women's vaginas closed. Like, you're just not going to get that kind of content on any other show. I don't know anyone else that talks about that kind of stuff. So this is the show for that. And if you want to hear that, check out episode 158 and tell your friends about it. Okay, that's it. That's all the maintenance done. That being said, joining us now, our very own Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
Hey, I was just thinking about that quote doctor who had the had the vagina treatment. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Chiropractic doctor.
In the past, I have a comment, and I also have a little story about how awkward my life is.
More interaction. Hold on. Let me guess. Interaction with the homeless?
No.
Okay. Hold on. Interaction with children's school chums' parents.
No, I mean that is inevitable when you're coaching teams and stuff. But yeah. No, that I'm all right. I needed a haircut, yes. And I hate getting fucking haircuts.
Me too.
I hate it.
Yeah. Same.
When I was just shaving my own head, and I looked, you know, especially goofy, even for me, who's goofy all the time. It was just so much easier.
You got a nice round head, Ed. you can shave that head. I don't think you look goofy at all. Like, I mean, not any more goofy
than I always am. You like Irish people do. Are goofy looking. Yes. That's what Irish people look like. They're goofy.
I haven't looked at a picture of you in a while, but I did recently look at a big picture of Jesse Plemons because we talked about that last week on the show. How you people have told you you look like Jesse Plemons, and now I just picture because you do look very similar to him, and now I'm just picturing that I'm talking to Jesse Plemons right now.
You know, I guess he's maybe in a role right now or something. He had a lot of facial hair and stuff going on. And I got a text the other day, and Michelle just texted it to me and said, "Hey, look, it's the fat hillbilly version of you." Like, I just get that shit all the time.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. I love it.
But anyway, so there are a ton of barbershop type places in town, but it's either the Supercuts bullshit kind of variety.
Yep.
Or there are a lot of these like trendy things like, hey, it's just men being men in here, and let's have our Macklemore haircuts, and maybe we'll give you a half a shot of whiskey while we're at it, and we'll be men. You can have a $48 haircut. Like, it's like, no, yep. I'm not doing either of these things.
I know what you're talking about.
So I'm always on the move trying to find a new place, and it's been a couple of years of not cutting my own hair, and it's bothersome. I still haven't found the spot. And so I went into a place that was – it had the old school like little swirly pole thing, the barbershop
pole. This is a barbershop. Yeah. You went to a barbershop.
But I was it wasn't in a specific area of town that indicated what it was. Yeah. But I just went in and I walked in the door, mm-hmm. and it was as if I had gone to see Otis Day and the Knights. And oh. And
the record skipped. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of necks craning.
Well, there was a Puerto Rican barber who I thought like, it wasn't indicative of anything, but then the clientele and then there was another barber when I walked in. It was all black guys and it was me.
Yeah.
And I'm in a black barber shop. And I just didn't, I had passed by when it was empty like a few days earlier. And I saw a Puerto Rican guy, like, seemed like I can go in there. And then I was wondering, like, all right, so I'm in a black barbershop now. Everybody's black. The other barbers are black. The patrons are black. What's my move here? No, I mean, I'm perfectly fine. But, like, do they even cut goofy Irish hair? Like, yeah. There's nobody in there, but at the same time, this reminded me of a Louis C.K. Routine where he said, like, when you miss that stop in Manhattan and all of a sudden you just get on that express to Harlem and you got to pretend everything's normal when internally you're wondering what's going on. Like, how are you going to handle this? So I just was like, all right, fuck it. I'm getting a haircut. It says $16 on there or $17. I was like, I'm going to see what he can do with my hair. And then I'm thinking, all right, well, now that I'm here and everybody, like, the record, the music started playing and everybody, forgot the white guy is in there. And as I'm waiting my turn, I'm like, all right, now I'm going to see, what's going on. What are these guys talking about? Like, it always seems on, as portrayed in movies and TV, black barbershop seemed like a hell of a lot better time than the nonsense I put up with.
Totally.
And these guys are fucking talking about Doctor Strange and superhero movies.
Oh, you went to a black nerd barbershop?
What the fuck is that? I was expecting, Joe Lewis, 147 years old. Yeah. I was hoping for listen, I'm in the black barbershop.
Picturing five Eddie Murphy characters.
Yeah, it seemed like it, if nothing else, I would be enlightened to what's entertaining about a haircut, whereas in the white world, haircuts are awful. It's filled with terrible chatter.
Yeah.
And so these guys are talking about something that I knew nothing about. If you're talking sports or something, maybe I could contribute. Doctor Strange, no. And the guy's like, he like asked me, like, I got brought into the conversation because
because you looked the part.
Benedict Cumberbatch really, he made a comment about that. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen it. Like, you haven't seen Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
What alternate universe am I?
Ed, You got fucking profiled. They're like, this nerd ass white boy right here, we're gonna be able to talk some Marvel shit with him. And then you couldn't, it'd be like the black guy being into Dave Matthews.
I was as useful as tits on a bull in that conversation. Yes. I was just like, all right, I don't know anything about superhero movies.
Wow.
So yeah, that was my experience. And I'll tell you what, fucking hell of a haircut.
Oh, I bet it's the best haircut you've ever had.
I'm not going anywhere else. As they say, once you've gone black.
That's right.
I'm sticking with this place. Well,
you got the kind of hair they can cut. They can do, a barber can do your hair.
Yeah, because I get a lot of it. It grows out. I would have an afro if I didn't do something with it.
Yeah, it's very dense.
Yeah,
it looks like it'd be like sort of coarse when it's short. I feel like they can cut the shit out of that kind of hair at the black barbershop.
Yeah,
I can't go to any barbershop. There's no barbershop can touch what I have going on here.
Your quap?
I got to go to abroad. I got to go to abroad that uses scissors to do it.
But your hair, like, if I don't cut my hair somewhat regularly, it just gets out of control. Yeah. It goes up.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the problem. So if other people, if their hair grows, like, when they grow long hair, like, when I was in college and I had long hair, it would take wearing a hat for a month before it would start to flop downward.
Yeah, it goes through that stage. No, I get it, buddy.
But the other comment I wanted to make, we always decide which stories we'll do on the week. And one I just thought would get it mentioned. I love that there is an Alabama drive-in that is going to refuse to play Beauty and the Beast because there's a gay character, even though the fact that it's a Disney musical isn't gay enough for them. Like that was the final straw. I love how dumb people are.
I saw that Alabama and like Red and China. Russia. Yeah, it was like somewhere like where you would totally expect them to be like, oh no, fuck no, we're not putting these gays on the screen. But then and then the other place was like here.
Yeah. There's one thing I don't want, it's a gay in my Disney musical.
No, that's good. I did like that too.
Fucking idiots.
That's great. Okay, let's do some emails.
Okay.
First, good day, ballers. Well, it's that time of year when one of the neighborhood girls guilts you into buying 10 boxes of fat pills, if you are unfortunate enough to answer the door. He's talking about Girl Scout cookies. Yeah. However, our societal laziness has taken over, and now these little vested vultures prey on you walking out of the grocery store. Oh, I have thoughts on this. When did this become a thing? Hey, girls, how about we walk a little or do the decent thing and force your grandparents to buy them by the pallet load? What, the Salvation Army guy can't sit out front ringing his bell, but little Susie can stare daggers at me for passing on the thin mints? Always pass on the thin mints. I would sincerely appreciate your thoughts on this. Dave, private Instagram user. That's Dave in San Clemente. Okay, do you have thoughts on this, Ed? Because I do.
I've plenty of thoughts. I love that somebody's bringing this up.
Yeah.
Because it is bad enough, like, passing by, having to do the blank stare to get past the Greenpeace people. Now we've got little kids expecting things.
Yeah.
I hate that. And it's just rewarding the kids for the lack of hustle.
It's true. And
it's like, all right, so now you're camped out, so now I gotta buy your like $9 or $10 box of cookies that are, you know, not as good as something I could have bought inside for half the price.
Yeah, totally agree. I don't know. So I got hit up by a neighbor, and I'm like, the thing is, I just don't want, because if they're in my house, I will eat them. Right. So I don't want them. It's not that I don't want to contribute. So but now they have a new thing. I got hit up by a neighbor, and she's like, her daughter was like pulling the wagon full of cookies. And she's like, hey, do you want to buy some cookies? And I'm like, you know what? I would really like some, but the problem is I would eat them. So no, thank you. And she's like, well, do you want to donate some to the troops? And I'm like, fuck. Well, you can't say no to that. And I'm like, yeah, sure. But I was like walking out the door to go running. And I'm like, so I, I'm like, get me later. And then they came to the door and my kids come running upstairs and they're like, Dad, there's Girl Scouts at the door. And I was like naked, like getting in the shower. And I'm like, oh, I'm, you know, like just ignore it. And so now I'm like the bad neighbor. But here's my question. How do they determine who gets to camp outside of the Ralphs and hit you up? How do they, whose turf is that? Who gets to decide which Girl Scout gets to set up a table in front of the grocery store?
Is that like Bodie? Bodie or,
Yes, yeah. Bodie or Poot?
Poot maybe?
Yes, D'Angelo?
I imagine there's some fights. Like, yeah, I already called that.
Yeah, that's my spot. This is my spot. No, I was here yesterday.
Last 3 years I've had it.
Yes, this is, yeah, I'm no, and it's one of those things, and this is what drives me crazy, because I didn't grow up like, I mean, not like super poor, like, you know, like lower middle class was my upbringing.
Okay.
And to the point where like in Pop Warner football or Little League, we didn't have Little League in my town. We had something like Little League. And like rec league baseball, you would have to like go raise money for shit. Like you didn't, like your parents didn't just pay for whatever you needed for your uniforms or whatever. You'd have to like raise money for the league. And so you'd have to go out and sell like shitty chocolate bars. And so I would have to go to all my neighbors and like knock on the door and see if they would buy them. In a fucking million years, in a 2 million lifetimes, my parents would never have taken me to and sat for half a fucking Saturday Ralph's. It's just such a difference in generations. It's such a generational difference. It's shocking to me that these parents will even do that.
It just seems like a huge waste of their day.
Yeah. Should we?
What is the point? What is Girl Scouts all about? Is this raising money so they can go on camping trips? Worthwhile charity.
No, I think
I'll tell you the bigger monster, and it's the supermarket. I mean, ultimately, you don't know them, so you can just ignore them. I hated when the people would come in the office,
the boss,
and just try to like, oh, you're gonna buy my daughter's shit, and it's like, you know what? If I'm gonna buy cookies from you, you gotta wear the little brown dress.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I don't care if you're a 350-pound dude. Yep. You're putting on a brown dress if I have to fucking buy cookies from you.
Yeah, I remember like having to raise money to go to like sixth grade camp or something. I wasn't allowed to go to sixth grade camp, by the way. I was like in trouble for something, but I remember people would have to sell things and they'd come back and their whole fucking thing would be filled out after just going home for like a couple days. And I'd be like, well, how'd you do that? And they're like, oh, my dad took it to work. And I'm like, what? That was like the key. Oh, I'm just going to have my dad take this to work. And I didn't have that option. Like my parents were not doing that for me at all. And I would have to hump it house to house.
But how do people feel okay doing this?
No, I agree. I agree.
Like my kids have been in, you know, endless shitty sporting events or some school play. I don't expect other people to show up. That's my own burden.
No.
But yet for Girl Scout cookies, people are supposed to
bullshit
to do this. Like if I want cookies, I can get cookies.
Yeah.
Not overpriced cookies that are not like my top choice anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And is there, because the Boy Scouts, that's a non-starter. Thankfully, my son wasn't interested. Not because he wouldn't have been allowed to do it anyway, because of the political and religious nature of the Boy Scouts.
Sure.
They can fuck right off. But is the Girl Scouts, is that a similar situation? Is Jesus behind the whole thing?
Well, I mean, the original intentions of Boy Scouts, the history of Boy Scouts.
Is this Teddy Roosevelt?
Sort of.
Yeah.
But it's somebody, and I think the intentions were good in that the guy was like, listen, the Industrial Revolution, everybody's moving to cities, and all the boys are growing up to be pussies who don't know how to do things.
Yeah.
And so it was like teaching boys to be men.
How to tie knots and shit.
You know, I get in theory, like that you weren't sure of the society and all of a sudden nobody knew how to make their own shit. So the Boy Scouts, but then it turned into this, you know, God Squatter freaky thing.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not down with that. But okay. Yes.
My son, he wasn't asking to be in it.
Yeah.
He did ask me, like, in some movie or something, what are the Boy Scouts? And I go, I don't really know.
Yeah. You weren't in it. That's good.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
It wasn't really, like, prevalent where I grew up, and it's not prevalent where my kids go to school, thankfully. So I haven't had to cross that bridge.
Huge drag if you had to go camping or something.
Yeah. Let's make a Girl Scout cookie ranking. I'll start. The number one. By far. Number one by a mile. I don't know what they're called now. They used to be called Samoas. They're coconut with caramel and chocolate.
I hate coconut with a passion. Oh, my God. That would be my last choice.
That's the number one cookie. Followed closely.
Peanut butter one is pretty good.
The peanut butter one is good, but I'm going to rank ahead of the peanut butter one, the lemon one. The lemon shortbread ones are very, very
second
good.
Worst. No, second best. Worst.
And, no, second worst. And then third. I mean, it's a close – it's 2 and 2A between the lemon and the peanut butter because they're both very good. So it goes Samoas or whatever they're called now, followed by lemon and peanut butter 2 and 2A. Ed, you can make your own ranking now.
I think the peanut butter one –
that's good.
I can enjoy a frozen thin mint, but again, I haven't had Girl Scout cookies are not part of my universe. I don't have daughters. I don't have to get into that. Like, I'm not.
Same.
I'm not buying your shitty Girl Scout cookies.
I stay away from them, but I'm still familiar with them. Okay, here we go. Another email. Thanks for that, Dave. By the way, ballers. Oh, this is right up our alley, right here. What is the correct stall protocol when you have to piss, but all the urinals are taken? If you're just pissing, do you need to shut the door? I don't normally, but I do not want to be looked in the ballerverse as some kind of savage. Keep up the good work. That is from Matt Charles, hashtag team current episode. Matt Charles also happens to be an All Blacks fan, as am I. Ed.
I think it's a good
– This is a different question. Kind of Daily's choice.
It's a good question. There is a right answer, but yeah. – I have, like, it's an awkward situation. Everybody's standing, all of a sudden you go into the place with a door.
I'm picturing this happens often at the airport where there's a lot. Everyone's lined up at the urinals and you just go down the row and kick open one of the stalls and go right in there to have a piss.
Yes. The quick answer is don't touch anything.
That's exactly right.
So you use your foot on the flush. You don't use any. So if you're touching that latch, that's the latch of somebody who had just dropped anchor in there. That's and so great. Like you just there's no need to touch anything. And if the door is open, they're looking at your back just who like cares? If you were standing at the urinal.
It actually does a service for you because it lets people know, hey, it really reeks in here. Somebody's doing some serious damage. Someone has a not very me. Bad diet, but it's not this guy. Because this guy's standing here peeing with the door open.
Right. Or, you see, if you're pissing in there and there's shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't me.
You were like, hey, listen, it wasn't me. I was the guy standing the whole time. I wasn't even.
You saw which direction my feet were facing. Now, if you are perhaps a senator, a Republican senator from Idaho, and you're traveling and you're in Minnesota –
You got a really wide stance.
You really have a – you're definitely latching the door. You're closing the stall. You're latching it up, and then you are extending your feet out as wide as possible. So wide, in fact, that they're crossing into the next stall, which most people would see as an act of aggression. But certain people in certain areas recognize that as a sign that you – are looking to cross stalls with them and get up to some homosexual behavior.
Yep. And then the next weekend, you wear a loud Hawaiian shirt and you're at the DC Farmers Market getting an egg sandwich right next to Ed Daly.
That's pretty
good.
My
buddy goes, hey, you know who's right next to you? That's Larry Craig.
Yes.
I was like, wow. Well, you mean the guy wearing the most obnoxious shirt at this farmer's market? Yep, that's him.
I did one of my favorite things to come out of that was when someone else accused him. They're like, hey, I sucked that guy's dick at the train station one time. And he's like, all right, well, the only reason I ever go to that train station is to get my favorite gardening magazines. I'm like, dude, you're not doing yourself any favors. Just stop talking.
Oh, no, you know what was a good move? Hey, Grandpa was accused of fucking a guy in a men's room in the airport. Hey, let's have a press conference with all of your sons and daughters and grandchildren right next to you. No, now you see, your grandfather has really wide stance. He doesn't actually like fucking people in airport restrooms.
Imagine having to go to school the next day and they're like,
hey, saw you on TV yesterday.
Billy, saw you on TV with your granddad. What's going on there? What's up with your grandpa?
Hey, can you show us how his stance was? Because it seemed a little odd.
I really hope that guy can live his truth. Remember Ted Haggard? He was like a Denver preacher. And
yeah, like,
he was.
I think he was raising mad sums of money from dumbs.
Yeah, staunchly anti-gay. So anti-gay.
Of course.
Then it turns out he was holed up in motel rooms smoking meth and having sex with gay prostitutes. And now I believe that guy is able to live his truth as a
open yeah, I haven't heard
and out
from
gay man. And I hope
he's like the dad from Alf.
Yes.
Remember
really?
He got caught in a crack house like blowing homeless dudes? And you're like, whoa.
And he was on the Norm Show at the time. Like he had a job on TV.
It's like, oh well, that's a different kind of move for a guy in his 60s who's married with grown children.
Is that guy dead?
Willie.
I don't know his name. Dad from Alf. just says Dad from Alf. Crack. Dad, Max Wright. Okay, now I got to look up
Max Wright.
Max Wright. Is he dead? Alf, underrated show.
And the next door neighbor played Jerry Seinfeld's mom on Seinfeld.
That's right.
This is Achmonic.
It's Max Wright still kicking, 73. How fucking old is that guy? That means on Alf in the 80s, 30 years ago, he was in his early 40s. He was our age.
He was a pretty sad dad. Like he was getting pantsed by the alien who he had just taken in.
Well, there was a wisecracking alien. Like the alien had the best material in the house.
My buddy was met with the Alf guy for a commercial.
Yeah,
I think for that Radio Shack. I think it was for that like Super Bowl ad where it had all the 80s stars
with the Alf voice.
No, like the guy who does the voice is also the puppeteer and everything, God. And he has it, and he has the thing in like Connecticut, and I think he said like that dude is Alf, like he was like the wisecracking guy, and you're like, all right, I just we're trying to make a deal here.
Yes, I've heard a similar story about the Muppets. Someone I know did some work with the Muppets, and they're very. You may as well have like
Gonzo.
Yeah, like. Who's a big, like, a super diva, like Jennifer Lopez or, like, Britney Spears? Like, they need everything a certain way. They need to be served at a certain time. They need to be billed a certain way. Like, they're very – their hands need to be protected. Like, it was shocking. For people that you've never heard of, they thought they were very, very famous because they did Kermit.
Yeah.
Joining us, we have a special guest joining us today.
Nice. And
I specifically sought this person out because I happen to know, like, I'm not that active on Twitter other than to mostly like to do a fuck Trump every once in a while and to respond to my tens of fans who like to engage me in conversation. Other than that, I'm not that active on Twitter, but I did recently see you have a little bit of an issue with someone with someone who I happened to be very fond of. He's a very nice guy, a guy I happily follow on Twitter. And so I wanted to bring him on to join us today so we could hash this out. We could really get to We could really get to the bottom of the issue between you guys. So, and a lot of you guys that follow me on Twitter will know who this person is. He's got a following of his own. Please welcome joining us now, Mark the Nomad. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, I really appreciate you having me on. Hey, Ed, how are you, man?
Good.
Oof.
Mark's a guy I follow on Twitter.
Well, hold on. Hold on. You're glossing over a lot of history there, Ed. First and foremost, Mark, Mark has been very valuable to the show. When I was on the radio, a lot of people were like, hey, you should start a podcast, do a podcast. And Mark was the one guy that, and I'm real stupid. Mark reached out to me and he's like, hey, if you want to start a podcast, like, here's a link of exactly how to do it. And I'm like, oh, cool. And he's like, and oh, by the way, if you want some equipment, I can send you some equipment that I'm not using. And I'm like, what the That's fuck? True. So we're actually recording with Mark the Nomad's mixing board right now. So that
goddamn hero.
This is how I got to know Mark the Nomad. And I happily followed him on Twitter at that point. And I followed him ever since because he's a great dude. Great follow. Now, Mark, can you recall for us, because it's a big moment for everybody, the moment that Ed Daly followed you on the Twitter.com website?
I don't have the exact day, but I know it was a very important day for me.
Yep.
I know that when I saw that, because it's not
every made day. It.
Yeah, I made it. It's not every day that someone follows me who is followed by Ryan Phillippe.
That's exactly
so. Right. Yeah, that was a really big deal for me. I was like, man, I'm like Kevin Baconing my way right to Ryan.
There you go. You're deal. Close to royalty there.
Yeah, that it's a big moment for most people when they make it into Ed Daly's universe. And then so things
and Jason Biggs, by the way.
That's Jason right. Biggs, Jason Biggs yeah. also oh, follows wow. you, and you haven't yet. You cannot get him to come on and do Bachelor stuff with me. I mean, you're friends with Jason Biggs, who's a huge Bachelor fan. His wife did like the Bachelor after show for a while, and I'm the biggest Bachelor voice on internet podcasting.
Yeah, I mean, if that show wasn't horrendous, I'd understand.
Okay, so Mark, take us back. Everything's going pretty well. Ed Daly's following you. You may have interacted a couple times, and then you're doing your thing, and suddenly you notice. Maybe you clicked his page because you're like, oh, honey. This my close friend Ed Daly said something hilarious on Twitter the other day. Hold on, let me go find it so I can recite it to you. And you click his page, and suddenly you notice you're like, whoa, I thought we were buddies. And you realize,
jarring.
Oh shit, this guy, this person that I valued as a friend, as a virtual soulmate, he no longer follows me on Twitter. He's unfollowed me. Take us through that. How did that feel?
Well, it was like a real punch to my soul, and I just want to – what had happened was, you know, this election season has been rough on a lot of folks, and Twitter is a vacuum for, you know, anti-Trump. And I must have said something at some point that, you know, I deviated from my douche chill Michigan Detroit Lions my wheelhouse, and I got a little political, and I noticed one day that I was hemorrhaging followers, and I was like, man, I wonder, I got to see if there's, you know, like people that I respect who are, I said something that must have pissed them off. And I checked the list, and I'm like, wow, Easy Ed Daly's not on there anymore.
What list though? Yes. You checked, you looked at each and every one, one of your followers?
Yeah, no, there's a website where if a bunch of people unfollow you, you can see them.
That is a thing. And, whounfollowedme.com.
Yes. Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and you saw Ed Daly's cereal-eaten mug on that site, and it probably – I know that feeling. You feel all the blood drain from your skin. You just feel so alone in that moment. Now
– and I was getting ready to DM him about mud run stuff too, and it was like
– yeah, yeah, doing a Spartan, stings. Ed. Like you're the Spartan Oracle. Let's talk about that. Now, it couldn't have been because you guys – are simpatico in the political arena. Like, I don't think you could possibly fuck Trump enough to please Ed Daly. So it couldn't have been that. Ed.
I've probably liked like 10 tweets in the last week, and a couple of them were Mark's political
That's
ones.
That's true.
So, yeah, look, again.
Ed and I don't have a beef, you know.
Again.
There's no beef.
Again.
I've refollowed him. Maybe I should be explaining this. So one day I must have been watching something, and I was like, just want a distraction. And it was like a Twitter storm about the combine or recruiting or signing day or something. And I was like, I got to get out of this.
Yeah.
And I probably should have hit mute, which is what I do for people I'm not interested in. And I just unfollowed, and I don't, it might have even been an evening after I've had a few pops. I'm not sure what it was, but I'm just saying, I never had a problem. I was just trying to take the Detroit Lions or Michigan Wolverine information out of my life. Like I told Mark at the time, I felt like I had a front row seat to a team I didn't care.
Of course. And I've said on multiple occasions to multiple people, I feel like if I had the chance, I would unfollow myself.
No, that's not true.
But then, I write for a website that covers Michigan sports, so I tend to overdo it, especially, anyone who knows me knows, the tattoo thing, that was one of those things that went viral for a little bit. I had to, shut down a lot of my social media there for a while and lock things down. I'm likes to care guy, and I know that's that doesn't really vibe well in certain parts of this podcast. Caring too much.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm all about caring. Brian is the one who still thinks it's sixth grade, and you got to pretend you don't care about stuff. Brian cares about things. He cares about mediocre bands that he likes
that's
to go
true.
See.
That's true. That's exactly right. Yes, I love
it. I hit Brian up yesterday. I was like, you got to see the Shins. I'm very jealous. I've been trying to see that band forever.
Fancy Sauce and I went and saw the Shins on Saturday night. Spoon played on Monday night, local, in a very small room. But it was a Monday night. It was very tough for me to get out. I like to go out and see bands. I like things. I like the Dodgers.
Assuming
they're in first place, I like them.
But when you say you're not into things, I'm with Mark. It's cool to be into things, but you don't see me tweeting about Maryland. And so it was a moment of weakness. Yeah. I didn't want to see it. But overall, Mark provides more content than most assholes. So I refollowed him back.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
So you and appreciate what, it. I mean,
it was there was nothing to it. The only thing, and Mark has never done this. The thing I don't like, I usually just mute people, is like, hey, listen, I don't get in your face about my sports team beating your sports team.
Oh yeah.
So if you're gonna do it to me, I just mute. It's the same thing as when you were a little kid and somebody goes, told you so. It doesn't help things.
No.
It doesn't matter that your team beat my team. It doesn't
it hurts too much. It hurts
cooler.
Too much to have it brought back up, doesn't it?
Well, it's just who gives a shit? Yeah. So I meet tons of people doing that shit because people think they're my buddy to talk about sports with them, and they're not.
You and Mark, you have that traditional long-running Big Ten rivalry between his Wolverines and your Terps.
Yeah, yeah.
Real happy to have you guys in there.
So eventually, it's a free one on the scoreboard.
In football, not basketball.
So you had a come to Jesus moment. You saw the error of your ways. We talked about it on this show, I believe, or at least in the preparation for this show, and you re-followed Mark the Nomad, and all is right with the world. The beef squashed. You guys are back.
Love Mark. I love this guy.
Absolutely.
I went
on record years ago when we were doing this, and I said that I thought, as much as I don't care for Jim Harbaugh or Michigan football, I thought that tattoo was awesome.
It's great.
Saved by the Bell, Jim Harbaugh appearance as a tattoo is an amazing thing.
Yeah, and it was a great story. And the only reason why it's here is because my wife called me a total pussy if I didn't do it.
Yeah.
So props to her.
It's a good wife.
Ed, there's another thing. I like mediocre bands. I also am a well-known to follow many tattoo and skateboarding Instagrams. So there's many things I like.
Skateboarding, I'm not big into that world, but I feel like the pictures could be interesting.
Yeah.
Tattoos can be kind of a bummer, right?
Some bad, some good.
When I got a tattoo.
Yeah.
I have two, a grand total of two. When I got a tattoo, the guy, while I was in the seat, was showing me pictures that he has hanging around. See that? See that? Tattooed right around that woman's pussy. I'm like,
Whoa.
And he's showing me the picture. I'm like, I don't care to see this. It was like a zipper hanging out of somebody's vagina. I was like,
Whoa, Ed.
But But like tattooed people, like people who are really into that. That's a problematic universe. I feel like it's a dangerous world.
Yeah, it's, some people can overdo it. Just like anything, some people can take it a little too far. Now, it's one thing that we, besides our mutual love of the Big Ten here and all everything that happens there, we all are. We're all white men. And we're all fathers. Isn't that right, Mark? You have children?
I have three children.
Three children. That's too many. That's
too many.
That's a selfish number of children.
You
got to
go into zone defense.
Yeah.
We actually was team Vass and then was team reverse Vass
to have another child. So you had, you had two, which is the right number of children to have.
That's correct.
Was this a sex issue? You had two of one thing and you thought, I'll get another one.
We had a boy and a girl.
So you won.
You're out.
Yeah.
You're out.
Yep. And, you know, when we lived in Massachusetts at the time, it was like they were just giving out vasectomies. They're like, oh, yeah, it's free with your insurance.
Yeah.
So I kind of just did it one day, no joke, without really talking to my wife about it. I came home and like, guess what I did?
Wow.
And that was kind of a big deal. It ended up being a bigger deal than I had thought it was, because we had conversations that like we were done. We crossed the finish line. You can hold one. I can hold the other one. It was made very clear to me that that door was not shut for my wife. And I felt incredibly bad afterwards. I was like, well, you know, this isn't the best birthday gift, you know? So we, about 2.5 years later, we started researching what it would take and what it would cost to reverse it.
Now, were you still in Massachusetts at the time? Because they got the good health care in Massachusetts.
Nope. Yeah. We went back to Florida.
I'm sorry. What are the ages of your kids like at this point?
So I have a 10-year-old son, an 8-year-old daughter, and a 20-month-old daughter.
Oh, wow.
So there's a 7.5-year difference.
Wow.
So you were out, and then you were sent back to Vietnam.
All the hardship was done. Like, they can wipe their own asses. Like, they're good to go. They can put on their own socks.
I got to say, when I made the decision to get snipped, I had a 2-year-old and like a 2-week-old.
Yeah.
That
was me.
That was enough of a gap that I was like, I cannot fucking believe I'm back here. Yeah. It was like 3 a.m. I'm feeding some bottle and I was like, this can't be happening. I got to make an appointment tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like that gap that you're talking about, Mark, you're talking about years and years later. That is
right.
Tough.
And how long between the VAS and the reversal?
It was about 2.5 years. If you go past 3, then you run the risk of.
I thought 1 year was the thing.
No, it's 3. So, but doing a reversal costs like $14,000.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
Oh, God.
So we decided to get a little weird with it, and we found a Christian doctor in the middle of Oklahoma who would do it for $1,700. So we got in the car.
So then the red flags popped up, and you're like, well, fuck that. I'll just go to Thailand or Mexico.
Right. Costa Rica, micro-vas reversal. And we drove to Oklahoma, you know, I was completely calm, and it was fine until we got to the office. It was like the most clean, sterile office, and we sat down with the guy the doctor who was going to do the reversal, and he went into almost like a Old Testament 20-minute prayer with his hand on my head.
Oh, no.
I'm looking at my wife like, look, there's still time for us to, you know, pull the plug. We can get out of here. And it wrapped up.
We could just pull the plug and treat this like a great vacation to the middle of Oklahoma.
To Oklahoma.
Yes.
Because a lot of people drive to the middle of Oklahoma. So not only that, it's that when you do the procedure at that level, normally you get put under for those procedures to go in reverse.
Yeah.
This one was fully awake.
Wow.
And It was like Thunderdome for your balls.
Yeah, he's like tugging and sawing. Yeah.
And there was like a small blowtorch.
Drills.
You see smoke coming out of your balls.
Yeah.
My wife's looking at it like it's a science experiment. She's
watching.
It was like the reverse C-section.
Oh, my God.
It was crazy. And yeah, that's what we did. We went to Oklahoma to, you know, basically I was able to negotiate the Bangkok Jack Shack, but for reverse, you know, vasectomy.
Right.
Wow.
Right. So how many miles is that? How many miles of a drive is that?
3,400. Oh. About 1,700 there and 1,700 back.
So what did you make it a trip? Did you stop in some cool places or you?
We did. We stopped in Memphis. We stopped in Little Rock, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. We, you know, we were able to see some places we'd never seen before. Oh, yeah. And
hang on a second. You stopped in Memphis and then stopped again at Little Rock? Little Rock. What was that, like 45 minutes?
Yeah. There is nothing in between there.
I'm going to call it a night. Let's go.
There's a whole lot of Mississippi and a whole lot of Tennessee, and there's a lot of areas where you're like,
Memphis is a fun town.
Memphis is cool. Yeah. We were able to get some good barbecue.
Yeah. And, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Little Rock. Okay. Well. Great story. I mean, here are things I would drive to Oklahoma for. $1 million check. not to have some wacko evangelical do surgery on my balls so I can be rewarded with yet another child. I'm sure it's a very nice
but child. But shockingly happy. Enough, yeah. It worked.
Yeah, it took.
Yep. It took.
They don't always take, even with the best guys, they don't always take.
I also had to sign a waiver that said I could never get another vasectomy because there's like a 30% chance that one of my balls will turn black and like die.
Shut up. Oh, I don't think that's true. I doubt that's true.
That's totally true. Like you could totally just lose a ball.
So now are you practicing my preferred method of birth control?
Yeah.
The
rhythm of the night.
Yeah. Foolproof, yeah. Undefeated method totally. Of pulling out.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Pull and pray.
Good for you.
I thought you were snipped.
I'm snipped. Yeah. Oh, okay. No, I'm cut. But I mean, back in the day, I used to rock and fire.
You know who did my surgery? Doctor by the name of Dr. Wiener.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I knew I was in good hands. And then I knew it was in bad hands when he heard I was a writer and he proceeded to pitch me a show that was a derivative of the show Rubicon, which I think lasted like 6 episodes. And he had a whole backstory and he was trying to pitch me a TV show. I'm like, I'm not a TV writer. I'm not sure what you're – but that was my entire surgery.
Meanwhile, this guy's stacking chips, snipping balls. Like, what's this guy needs to make more money? Like, I think you're doing fine.
It's the same reason why athletes want to be rappers. Like, he wanted to diversify.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you guys could finally bury the hatchet. This beef had been stressing me out for quite a while.
Long time coming.
Yeah. And it's just, I wanted to clear the air. I wanted to do it here on the show. Mark, we're going to talk some sports. You are an expert in that field. Why don't you hang out for a little bit and we're going to hit some sports topics. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, Ed, let's hear it. What's going on in the world of sports?
All right. For some inexplicable reason, former Tennessee Vol and Houston Texans running back Arian Foster expressed a desire to go camping on Twitter this week. But
camping.
His quote was,
"Rather drive to Oklahoma."
Yeah. "Wildlife scares the shit out of me," he wrote. Foster followed up tweeting, "I honestly think I can get a wolf one-on-one, though." Then Foster went on to explain why he feels confident about taking on a wolf in one of the greatest tweet storms of all time. First tweet, "I'm 230, wolves are what, 180, 200 tops? He has no thumbs. If I control his neck, he's donezo." Then, "Wolves don't scare me like that, because in my neighborhood was a bunch of loose enraged pits. If he alone, I think I can get him."
Oh, my God.
Then Twitter users started challenging him, but Arian Foster always had an answer. "How are you going to bite with half a jaw? None of them have thumbs. Thumbs mean I can grab him. He can't grab me. All he has is a mouth. Grab his neck and he can't bite." And then he said, "I've studied the wolf. He can't read.
Studied?
I know his weaknesses, plus the thumb thing." And somebody else came at him. "Bro, you think a wolf knows where my artery is? All of a sudden I'm fighting a wolf that knows biology? If he bites me, his main weapon's immobilized. Then he becomes vulnerable. That's why thumbs are so important." Then another tweet. "Thumb, I still have the whole other arm, my right one, because I use non-dominant one to shield. I'm just smarter than the wolf. Advantage me. Then some shitty guy on Twitter tried to bring up Arian Foster's injury-prone career. Ryan Rodriguez tweeted, a wolf hasn't had groin, hamstring, and knee injuries in the last 6 years. Then he used that super lame eyeball emoji that people use when they can't express their thoughts. I hate that thing. But anyway. But he learned the hard way. Arian Foster cannot be stopped. Also hasn't been to 4 Pro Bowls, overcome those injuries, and doesn't have thumbs. Advantage me, fucker. USA Today followed up with a wolf expert to find out if Foster really had a chance.
Wolf Rob Schultz, expert.
Executive director of the International Wolf Center in Minnesota, reminded Foster that he needs to understand wolves are a very dynamic predator. They use their necks to take down animals that can be 1,200 to 1,500 pounds, and they use their upper body to attack. Now, guys, I have two questions. One, given that information, who do you trust, Arian Foster or the wolf expert? And two, once America gets a real president back in office, shouldn't the first order of business be give Arian Foster the Presidential Medal of Freedom?
This Arian Foster, and he's God bless him. He has great self-esteem. Someone allowed him as a child to think that he was special, to think that his thoughts mattered, and now he's been convinced he's smart, even though I believe he went to Tennessee.
No, I think he actually is an insightful guy. Like I think he's having fun with it, yeah. But he's an interesting guy.
He legitimately thinks he could fight a wolf.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Eddie. I think he's somewhat trolling his fans. He comes across as a pretty smart guy. I don't know how you guys have a large fan base in Houston. I'm not sure how they feel about him after his many injuries. I don't know if they still love him.
But he was good when he was healthy.
Yeah, Pro Bowler.
He was great, and but he does mess with fans a lot. I do have a follow up to this. I know that he was interacting with fans a lot, but a guy I respect on Twitter quite a bit, who made fun of him being a vegan, sent him a message like, "Hey, if you get that wolf's blood in your mouth, you're kind of breaking your diet." And he blocked him.
He got all sensitive like Ed Daly. Unbelievable. Also, what Arian Foster fails to realize is that wolves, much like Puerto Ricans, they don't fight you one on one. They're pack.
I saw that Liam Neeson movie. They went pack heavy.
They're pack hunters. Like they work it. They get one to distract you, looking the other way, and then they get the strongest one to jump on your back and crack your neck in half. A wolf.
But he did. He did offer the caveat: one on one, I could take a wolf. And I do wonder. Yeah. When this guy is talking about, they take down 1,200 pound animals, but it's always in a pack. If it were one on one, don't you think there would be, a strength issue? Do you think?
I'm not saying a wolf would kill Arian Foster. He may be able to
fuck him up for sure.
People fight off mountain lions. A mountain lion is also a dynamic hunter, and it's a one on one hunter, and it's about the same size, 180 pounds. A wolf, you might be able to fight it off. There's no way you would kill it. There's no way you could kill a wolf in a fight. And as you're fighting that wolf off, it is going to fuck you up. You're going to
If you take out its eyes.
Oh, no, stop
with
its thumbs. Eyes.
He attached a video of this giant Russian lady just going after this wolf's kidneys and just kicking it in the gut. And the wolf's finally like, I can't take another one of these kicks.
Yeah.
And it just runs off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done.
Yeah, that's Russia. That's Russia, where they're wild, where meteors fall on their cars and they just keep listening to their techno like no big deal. Like, that's a whole different place. You can't even count it. Plus, they have to fight wolves every day on their way to school or on their way to the breadline.
If you listen to techno as much as Russians do, you probably don't even have nerve endings anymore.
Yeah, they're capable of anything. Okay, Ed, what else is going on in the world of sports?
Okay, on Saturday night, Philadelphia boxer Danny Garcia lost to Keith Thurman in a split decision, and his father and trainer Angel Garcia
was
none too pleased about
it. Great safety for the Broncos back in the day. You didn't want to come over the middle against Keith Thurman. Okay, go on.
Dangerous. This is a quote from his dad, Angel. Thurman ain't no fucking champion. The WBC was disgusted to give him the belt because he ain't win. That's why. I'm disgusted with this shit. Thurman lost, my brother. He ran the whole fucking night. For real. I want Danny to retire today. I've had it I'll give Thurman five rounds. I'll give him five rounds of anything. He ain't fucking win. The WBC disgusted to give him what that fucking belt. Danny, knock him the fuck out. That's what Danny should have done. Knock him the fuck out. Because Thurman was the favorite going in. Everybody was favorite him, was on his motherfucking dick all the way down to his balls. They was sucking his penis from the top of the penis.
Whoa.
Or a little dick, probably. He ain't from Philly. He ain't got a big dick. You got to be from Philly to have a big dick.
What? Is that true?
Well, Brian and Mark, besides his dad being right about the outcome of that trash decision, because it was trash, do you think he had a good point? Because I'll bring up Will Chamberlain, Kobe Bryant, and the famous stooge Larry Fine were all from the city of brotherly love.
Yeah.
It's got a rich dick history. And
a big dick.
So I'm going to
have to go fine with Carson. Packing.
Who's a really scary receiver from the Colts? Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison.
He's from Philly, so I'll just immediately say everybody from Philly got the biggest dick in the world, because I don't want to piss off Marvin Harrison, because
he'll find you.
He'll shoot you with a gun. So I got to agree with this guy.
I never tell you the time I went to it was like Friday night fights on ESPN. I went with a customer to this thing, because it was like, what's his name? The Executioner from there,
too. Is this when you were sitting? Hopkins. Is this where you were sitting next to Don Mattingly?
No, that was a different fight.
Oh.
That was a, what do you call it? That was, whatever. Okay. Sugar Shane Mosley fight, that was. But anyway, it was Friday night fights, but let's say it was summer months, so it was light at 7 o'clock, and I got dropped off there, and then we're like, all right, let's call a cab to get out of here, because we were in, like, the shitty section of Philly, and we could not get a cab to pick us up.
Yeah.
And so we had to go into like a local bar that was like real dicey, and we were just hanging out there. And the woman's like, yeah, I wouldn't leave if I were you. And we close at 2 a.m. So like, you got to figure out a way to get out of here by 2 a.m. And I had to call the car service for my company from New York to pick us up in Philly, because nobody would come to get us. We kept calling cab companies, and they're like, nah, we're not getting you.
Yeah, it's a scary town.
Because Marvin Harrison lived near there.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison was probably out in the streets shooting people with his Belgian hand cannon. Okay, what else, Ed?
Father of the best player on the Minnesota Timberwolves is considering suing the club after Crunch, their wolf mascot, collided with Carl Towns Sr. in a sledding stunt gone awry. Towns Sr., who is a retired high school basketball coach, was injured during a timeout. The Timberwolves' prophetically named mascot, Crunch, appeared to lose balance towards the end of a high-speed sledding stunt and hit an empty front-row seat next to the aisle. That seat, in turn, crashed into the right knee of Towns Sr., who was sitting next to the empty seat. The elder Towns is now exploring potential legal options, including the possibility of suing his son's team for negligence. Guys, the year is 2017. Why are there still mascots?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I am team fuck all mascots. Yeah, mascots there's never been a sporting event. Value?
Hold on.
Never gone.
Hold on.
Now don't go on with the San Diego Chicken.
The San Diego Chicken, Ted Gianulis, he's pretty fucking funny. He was great on the Baseball Bunch. He's the OG. I don't know why. He's not even affiliated with the team. He's just called the San Diego Chicken. Great mascot. I haven't seen him in a while. He can stay around.
That's interesting.
But that's never what pushed you over to go see a sporting event. Like, we might go to the game tonight, but the chicken might be there, so let's take the family down there and see the chicken.
No, of course not. I would never go see anything that because they had a mascot. Maybe this is what Arian Foster was talking about when he was saying, oh, I could fuck up a wolf. He's like,
he's talking about Crunch.
It ain't got opposable thumbs. I could fuck it up. He's talking about Crunch. Think about it. 180 pounds.
Taking out Crunch's eyes.
Yeah, there's no way this dad, like, this Carl Anthony Towns is like one of the two or three best young players in basketball. Like,
oh, he's awesome.
Minnesota wants to have a long, fruitful business relationship with this guy. They're gonna do whatever it takes to quell his father's rage at the knee injury he got by Crunch.
Back to back stories, though. Father's a little bit too close to their kids. I mean, can you go let your kid live his life?
It is annoying.
Not when your son is the meal ticket right there.
That's true. Getting him paid. okay, guys. Ed, You attended the University of Maryland. We all know Mark's a Michigan man. I, of course, attended the Harvard of the West, Cal State University, Long Beach.
Dirtbags.
But there's a state senator in Iowa that has all of us beaten with a degree from a university so prestigious that it came with unlimited trips to the salad bar. Of course, I'm talking about Sizzler University. Amid the most pressing concerns being addressed by newly appointed U.S. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, besides bears, is the proliferation of liberal college professors, whom DeVos believes are telling their students what to say, do, and more ominously, what to think. Ensuring these students also vaguely hear some conservative stuff while flipping through Instagram has now become a national concern. One recently championed in a bill introduced by Mark Shelgren, a Republican state senator in Iowa. Big Ten, another Big Ten connection. That would force faculty members to declare their political affiliations. What if you don't have one? Then pass on hiring them if they tip the school's scales toward a liberal majority.
It is that would be a real hard thing to just lie. To get past. Yeah. Be like, well, how many Democrats and Republicans do you have? Oh, then I guess I'll tell you this is what I this is the way I have it.
Quote, one of the worst ideas I've heard in 15 years, his fellow state senator, Senator Herman Quirnbach, declared. Even counting,
that's not a real name.
Even counting,
sounds made up.
Sounds like somebody from The Simpsons. Even counting Shelgren's 2016 bill to prohibit the University of Iowa from ever cooperating with Stanford University until it apologized for a marching band skit. But now it is also an exceptionally funny one.
That's the game where Christian McCaffrey ran a train on Iowa. Yeah. That was insane.
Over in 5 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
Given that it led to the revelation that Shelgren apparently got his, quote, business degree from Sizzler. See, guys, this guy's been bitching about liberal professors, and he cites his own experience with liberal professors and he has a quote from his resume, degree in business management from Forbco Management School. Well, as NBC News soon discovered, Forbco Management School belongs to the same conference as Bovine University. Forbco is actually the name of a company that once operated a Southern California franchise of the Sizzler family dining chain, a storied institution of higher learning where Shelgren majored in keeping gravy out of the salad bar. Or as Shelgren defensively put it after the story broke, quote, I spent 6 months in order to be promoted from associate manager to assistant manager when I was 19. I had to take their school and their classes, and they gave me their degree, as they termed it. And I have used that terminology. So for him, it's a matter of semantics over whether he obtained a, quote, degree in hotel restaurant management or a, quote, certificate. Guys, you think this guy is really just sad that he didn't follow his true passion to become a sandwich artist?
the fact that somebody has been noted to go to Sizzler when they're sober is very surprising to me.
Are there because still Sizzlers? Mark, you live in Florida.
No, there used to be Sizzlers here, but no, we are pure Golden Corral. So that's actually, where I'm thinking about going to grad school is Golden Corral.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Chocolate waterfall there, right?
Yep. Yeah. Vanilla now, too. We upgraded.
Oh, amazing.
The best part of that story, in my opinion, is when the other state senators were like, this is the equivalent of getting the hamburger in a university at McDonald's, like the Hamburglar certificate.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, imagine putting that on your resume. Like, yeah, I celebrated a birthday at Chuck E. Cheese, and they gave me a certificate for best party animal.
Yeah, if you're gonna if you're gonna lie,
what was your thesis in?
more
dinner rolls before they get to the expensive meat, so that way they can fill up on bread.
If you're gonna lie, just make up like Southern Illinois or something where no one's going to check anyway. Cal State Fullerton, like just Forbco University. Like, I get that there's a hint of truth in that, but it's not even a real place. Make just if you're going to lie anyway, just make up a better lie, right?
Yeah, this guy's eyes are really close together too. I mean, if you look at his picture, this guy's he's struggling.
He is.
He's on the struggle.
Yeah, he might not actually get accepted into a regular Sizzler to be a server there.
Okay, along those lines, guys. Ed, a couple weeks back, I was making a list of the trashest fast food chains, and of course, right. I had the King lapping the field there. But I feel I was remiss in my listing because I totally left off a chain whose food is only outpaced by the odor emanating from its locations. Yeah.
I will say this in Burger King's defense.
Yeah.
They don't stink up an entire city block the way this place does.
You know, because when you think of fast food, you're thinking burgers. You don't, you know, that's so oftentimes Taco Bell, which is trash, gets a pass. And beyond that, quite possibly the trashest of all fast foods, Subway, failed to make my list. We learned this week that the chicken at Subway barely contains 50% chicken. That the Canadian broadcasting company, the CBC, did a test. They did a DNA test of the chicken and found that it was about 50% chicken, the rest soy. Speaking of your nuts falling off. The investigation involved DNA testing chicken sandwiches collected from 5 popular fast food restaurants. The rest of the sandwiches contained mostly chicken, but in testing, Subway's oven roasted chicken and the chicken strips in its sweet onion chicken teriyaki sandwich clocked in with just 53.6% and 42.8% chicken respectively. The results stood up after extra rounds of sampling. Guys, don't you get what you deserve if you're the kind of monster that A, goes to Subway, and 2, orders the fucking chicken?
Right. At least if you're going into one of those shitty places, get the swimming in nitrates, like deli meat.
Get the processed deli meat, you freak.
Right. Yeah, just get the super processed meat. Do not get the fucking chicken.
And the yoga mat bread and the gross cheese and the shitty mayonnaise and eat your sandwich and hate yourself.
I feel like the target audience here, this is going to be lost on them, because if you're actively going into a Subway, a place that had Subway Jared as its spokesperson for the better part of 10 years and made a life-size RG3 sub that he posed next to, if that person does not want to hear that their chicken strips are fake, and they're going anyway.
They don't give a shit. They don't read.
No, they don't care.
They don't read.
A couple times I've gone to Burger King, and I've been tricked by the smell and been like, ah, shit, they got me.
Yeah.
You know, because the smell will actually entice you. Oh, it doesn't smell that bad.
Charbroiled.
Subway, there's no excuse. It smells like you're about to eat cardboard.
Yeah, you can.
Like a block away.
You can smell it from down the block.
It's terrible.
Yeah, agreed.
It's off.
Concur. Fuck
Subway. Sadly, I must admit, I've had Subway in the last year.
Oh, you were
jury duty.
You were on like a road trip or something. Yeah, you have to be confined.
Jury duty, yeah. And my choices were that or like a knockoff of KFC. It was Kennedy Fried Chicken or something. It was not good. The courthouse that you have a choice of is in a rough neighborhood.
Wow. Jury duty. You know you just throw those things away, right? That's what I do.
Yeah, I
they mail you those things, and then you just throw them away, and then wait till you get another one, and you just throw that one away.
I live in a small town. They will call you.
Just throw them away. It's a foolproof plan. It's just like my pulling out method. Undefeated. Never had a problem. Never an issue. Okay, Mark the Nomad. This was a long time coming. You are a great patron of the show. You are a great friend of the show. You have meant a lot to me as a human being, as a talk show host. I very much appreciate you coming on the show and airing.
Thank you. I have one request. Can I make one small request?
Yes, of course.
While I have both of your attention, can I just do a quick Daily's Choice? I have to ask.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, hold on. Sure. Just hold on. Just hold on 1 second. We're going to do a Daily's Choice, but hold on, because I got to get this. I wasn't ready with the music, so hold on.
Sorry.
Okay.
It's a choice I made. Daily's Choice. Watch me shiver while you shake.
Okay, quickly, if you're new to the program, Daily's Choice is a game we play. Ed Daly has made it known that if he ever sidles up at a urinal next to somebody famous like Leonardo DiCaprio, for instance, he's taking a look at their hog. In this game, he's faced with a quandary. He's got famous people at the urinals to either side of him. He only has a brief moment to take a glance and check out one dong. Which is it going to be? Mark, hit us with the Daily's Choice.
Conservative cuck edition. To your left is Alex Jones, purveyor of InfoWars.
Not 43.
And to your right is Rush Limbaugh. What do you got?
Oh.
This is so hard.
Although we know he's lying about his age, I gotta think the younger of the two is just the less gross. So I guess I'm going just because I think if you look at the dick of Rush Limbaugh that he was like wagging in his El Salvadorian maid's face.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the grossest sight on earth. So I'm going Alex Jones just because he's got to be at least 2 years younger than Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, they're both in their 70s. It's a real tough choice, and this I don't know if I could make this choice. Alex Jones, while awful, I feel like he's really packing a hog. The way he gets out
there. He's got a very girthy voice.
Yeah, he screams. He's got a deep voice. He's like real tan for some reason.
Used to be a bodybuilder.
Is that true?
Go look at those pics.
Rush Limbaugh sounds like
they will freak you out.
Back in the 50s when he was coming up because he's not 43 years old yet.
That's right.
Like Ed Weeder.
Back when Jack LaLanne was spotting
him. Now, this Rush Limbaugh. I just picture him having like the full on just micro penis, like just barely a tip, like no visible shaft, like real. You almost want to confirm that it's just the grossest little fucking chode you've ever seen, like a little just some kind of worm, like very gray in color, like very hideous. I think I'm looking at Limbaugh.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
I just think it would be so – you'd have nightmares over that one.
Yeah, it would be. It's a tough choice, absolutely. All right, Mark, I really appreciate you coming on the show. We would definitely like to have you back sometime. Why don't you give out your Twitter handle, your website, all that shit?
You can follow me at Mark the Nomad on Twitter if you're interested in reading some stories I've written about Michigan football, including a really lengthy piece about a big ticket scandal that I was a part of in 2005 for the Michigan-Ohio State game. You can go to mazeandbrew.com. And I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys, for having me on. It was a blast.
Cool. Thanks, Mark. Talk to you later. I want to say, just one more time, thank you very much, Mark the Nomad. Thank you for being a part of the show. He's a great guy. Follow him on Twitter, and we will definitely have him back on the show. I thought he did a great job. Ed, do you agree?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But now joining us, everyone knows this person. She's our very own pop culture correspondent. She joins us every week to break down all the gossip, everything that's going on in the celebrity world, or as what she calls the news. Of course, I'm talking about Fancy Sauce, who joins us now. How you doing, Fancy?
Hey.
Hey, Kate.
What? Oh, quickly.
Hey, guys.
Let's how's everything going?
Yeah, not good. Bad.
So far, so good. This is like 3 weeks in a row you've been on the show.
Yeah.
It's really like
starting a trend.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Let's quickly do an email. It's another can conundrum, aka Fancy's Choice. These I enjoy. This is similar to Ed's Daily's Choice, but it's boobs. Fancy decides to take a relaxing walk on the beach at dusk. It's like Penthouse Forum. Stopping at a secluded section of the beach, she stops and packs her glass bowl full with a heaping. With a heaping amount of fresh bud, as she's known to do. With lighter in hand, she starts lighting her pot. I love when people call it pot.
Are you on the pot? That's
are you doing the pot?
The pot?
I think he's, honey, I think he's on the pot. The sparking of the Bic causes her to raise her eyes, and she notices two glistening bodies to each side of her, frolicking in the calm waves. Fancy notices SI swimsuit models, Brooklyn Decker and Kate Upton are flanking her to each direction. The retreating sliver of the sun slowly is fading, allowing her to get a better glimpse of one or the other before there is complete darkness. Through her squinted eyes, where does Fancy's focus go? Of course, that's from her very own Pete Shalitsky. Kate, which is it? Can conundrum. Who are you checking out? Brooklyn Decker or Kate Upton?
This is not a conundrum.
Isn't
Brooklyn
it?
Decker is not attractive.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Even in the titties? Even in the breast department?
Kate Upton all the way.
Kate Upton. I would go with Kate Upton as well. Ed Daly, your thoughts?
I'm Googling Brooklyn Decker because I was pretty sure she was really hot. She was a few years ago, but not that
Kate
long.
Doesn't
ago.
Like her. She's married to. She's only 29.
The
she's
tennis guy, right?
She's married to tennis player Andy Roddick. Now, the one thing is here is I would never look at these, but the giant release of hacked pictures features many, many, many very dirty nude photos of Kate Upton. I don't know that. Brooklyn
oh, I've
Decker.
Got an update for you. She is definitely hot.
Yeah.
She is really hot.
Yeah. If you just took her head and took all the makeup off and gave her a guy haircut, you wouldn't know.
A guy haircut?
Why would we be giving her a guy haircut?
I'm just saying, you wouldn't be able to tell that she was a girl. She's a man.
She's hot. There's definitely one part of her that I find very attractive. It's the area of her chest. Those look to be natural to me. I might go Brooklyn Decker in this situation.
I'm going Brooklyn Decker.
Yeah, I was not really familiar with her prior to this. I gotta disagree with Fancy here. She's got a fit body. Okay.
She's a swimsuit model.
Yeah.
I think that's like.
So is Kate Upton.
Yeah,
they're the same person.
I think that's a requirement that you have.
Kate Upton, while very hot,
she doesn't do it for me.
Kate Upton, while very attractive, she's a Michigander. And I think she's been brought up on lots of potatoes and
don't body shame her.
Pot roast. And while she looks very good now, I feel like when she hits like 42.
When Verlander loses that fastball?
Yeah. Yes. I feel like she's got the potential to really put on some LBs later in life. Okay, excellent.
I haven't seen every picture of Decker, but I've now scrolled through about 150. I'm still on board with every single one of these pictures.
I got to agree with Ed Daly here. She looks pretty good. Kate, not a Brooklyn Decker fan.
No.
What is going on in the world of pop culture? What is happening in Fancy Pop?
Apparently, well, let's start with a little bit of politics.
Yeah.
And then we'll move on.
This is not a political show.
I mean, it's not.
We got political one time and somebody sent an email. Go on.
Apparently, this Ben Carson guy is.
He's a fucking dick.
I feel like this is one of those cabinet positions you just like, this is like a pity spot.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like, I promised you something. Here you go. Housing and urban development.
Housing and urban development.
It has urban in the title, and you're black. Right.
Yeah. We need a black guy.
Goes hand in hand.
Obviously.
How the fuck is this guy a brain surgeon?
It's crazy. It is crazy.
just the fact that he's so low energy, how would he be able to perform a surgery with the speed required while the body is open up?
Maybe that's it, and he stays so calm.
You know how they say, like, when you can get the heart rate down so you can't even tell they're alive?
Yes.
That's what he is. He's just super calm.
Yeah.
His hands don't shake because he's not technically alive at that time.
He's like the Vietnam sniper with 150 confirmed kills all by headshot. He's
Barry Pepper in Saving Private Ryan.
Yes, like so cool under pressure.
Who has a rather large portrait of himself hanging in his home.
Hanging with Black Jesus, I've seen it.
No, not just Black Jesus, gay Jesus with the bathrobe.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so good. Anyway, so he gave a speech the other night where he said, and I quote, "There were other immigrants who came here in the bottom of slave ships, worked even longer, even harder, for less."
That's right.
Okay, so Sam Jackson replied to him on Twitter.
Sam Jackson doesn't fuck around.
I wish I could do a Sam Jackson voice.
Just fun to fuck for a lot.
Imagine this in Sam Jackson's voice. "Okay, Ben Carson, I can't. Immigrants in the bottom of slave ships, motherfucker, please. # dickheaded Tom."
Yeah. I like that movie 12 Years an Immigrant, where the guy, he was a fiddle player, and it, but then they drugged him and they made him a hardworking immigrant.
You asked me why I didn't see Manchester by the Sea, because the last like super sad movie I went to was that. Like, that was the one that I like.
Very depressing.
When I got out of the theater, I felt like I had just been just punched repeatedly for 2 hours. It's just, it's tough to get into those movies.
We were watching the Oscars and the kids were watching with us. And
the Bechner children.
Yeah.
Of which I have two, the maximum number you're allowed to have. Yeah, go on.
Some clip came up from 12 Years a Slave where Fassbender's raping.
Yeah, which when he raped Lupita Nyong'o to death.
And
why was that in this year's Oscars?
We're sitting there watching that, and it was only for like a couple of seconds.
You didn't really know what was happening.
I'd seen the movie.
Yeah,
sort of know what was happening.
Yeah.
Hopefully the kids didn't clock that.
Brutal. Mrs. Fassbender did not like that. Did not take too kindly.
Anyway, so this black guy, Ben Carson, apparently thinks slaves were just immigrants who worked for less money.
Yeah.
Slightly less.
None.
Okay. Benefits were not good. Benefits were poor to quite
so
poor.
So great if it wasn't so terrible.
Worked to death. Okay, what else is going on, Kate?
I guess there's like been a spate of celebrity burglaries.
Yes, I heard. In LA. My guy Yaz Puig got robbed. I think it's like a ring.
He's the latest to
was
be
this
hit.
Like that movie where the high school girls were robbing everyone?
The Bling Ring.
Yeah, the Bling Ring. It's a good movie. They made off with $500,000 in jewelry from Yathiel.
They're probably doing the same thing. The Bling Ring, what they would do is they would follow everyone on social media, figure out where they lived, and be like, "Oh, Lindsay Lohan's in Ibiza. Let's swing by her house and see if she's got pretty a house smart. Sitter." Yeah. Oh, she doesn't. Let's fucking pretty rob smart. Her ass.
Also,
they're doing the same thing. They got Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette, $200,000 worth of jewelry. I thought Alanis Morissette only wore like silver and like the occasional turquoise piece.
Like, I think you're only at about 10% of what they got her for.
$2 million
worth of jewelry. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Also, Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's got a lot of bling.
He's very hetero.
What?
All those super masculine hetero dudes like Cesar Millan wear a lot of jewelry.
And Derek Fisher was also hit up.
So. Hey.
That might be Matt Barnes who took it.
Hey, Bling Ring 2.0. Don't come at me because I wear my very cool rings all the time. I don't leave my cool rings at home. Okay,
I have one like $80 ring that I got at a mall kiosk for my wedding ring.
That's right.
And I'm still not used to it.
Okay. Like I've been married 15 years.
I've been married since 2000, and I'm still not used to this thing. I take it off all the time. I hate it.
I bet you do. You take it off when you go to those brothels in Bangkok.
Yeah, married, not married.
Amsterdam.
All right, ladies, ring is off.
you're free to ravage me now. Okay, what else? Kato?
Okay, well, Lisa Kudrow.
I mean, she's
very
a household name.
Funny actress. Very talented.
What was that show?
Conan O'Brien.
The Comeback.
Yeah, she's a groundling. The Comeback. on HBO. If you have HBO,
it's so good.
Go back and watch that show. It's so funny.
It's so uncomfortably good.
Yeah, it's that real. It's kind of like a Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah.
I love uncomfortable comedy. Where I just never found her funny. But she's that's a funny show.
She's very talented.
She's very awkward in that show.
She was on Watch What Happens Live last week, and she told a story where she revealed a guest star on Friends told her after she did a lot of practice rehearsals with no hair and makeup, and then showed up full hair and makeup, and whoever this guest star was, she wouldn't reveal, was like, oh, now you're fuckable.
Yeah, I think that's actually what he said.
After she put some makeup on.
But she wouldn't.
Is there speculation on who it is?
She wouldn't out the person.
She wouldn't say, except that it was not Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a friend spurt. I know my
guy. But they used to get a lot of people, right?
So many.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, stars on that show. It'd be hard to.
I know my guy Tom Selleck was on that show quite a bit, but it couldn't have been him. I'm sure. He doesn't talk like that.
He's a gentleman.
Tom Selleck was coupled up with Courtney Cox on that show.
That's right.
Interesting. I'm sure that someone will crowdsource the culprit for that shortly. So as soon as somebody knows, let me know, please. At Brian Beckner on Twitter. What else, Cato?
There's kind of a story, non-story here.
Yeah.
About Lance Armstrong, who went on Howard Stern last week and talked about how hard it was dating Sheryl Crow and being in the spotlight. He's my least favorite athlete. I think the guy is a fucking asshole.
You and Ed Daly.
You're a liar and a cheater.
Yes.
But you're also a fucking narcissist, sociopath, fucking
dickhead.
I agree with all of that, but I do wonder. He did raise a lot of money for cancer, right?
But that's his thing. Like, that's how he gets away with being an asshole.
I'm not saying that doesn't make him an asshole, but like, something good came of his career.
That's fine.
I'm tired of hearing about him, but at least something good came.
Yeah,
nothing good has come of Shaq's career. He's just annoying.
I had forgotten he was with Sheryl Crow, and he was with Sheryl Crow at the top of her game.
When they went to the Oscars together. Yeah.
She,
I think, like 2005.
Yeah. She was a super hot chick. Yeah. Yeah. Good for him, I guess. What else, Cato?
All right. I got good news, guys.
Good news.
Yeah. Down the pipeline.
Could use this.
Jimmy Buffett.
Oh no!
Has announced plans to break ground on a string of retirement communities
inspired by his classic
Margaritaville and its theme chain of restaurants and resorts.
This is such a good idea.
It's called Latitude Margaritaville, and it will open its first branch in Daytona Beach, Florida.
This is
2018.
This is
with
such
similar
a good idea.
Communities also in the works. Apparently on the website, what does it say? It says, inspired by the legendary music of life and lifestyle singer, songwriter, best-selling author Jimmy Buffett, your new home in paradise features exciting recreation, unmatched dining, and fantastic nightlife.
Oh, fantastic. Love it. Yeah, Buffett.
Nurse, if they don't stop playing Cheeseburger in Paradise, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to set myself on fire.
Ed, remember a couple years ago we talked about on the show this couple that got arrested because they got caught like
fucking in the middle of the grass,
like in the courtyard, and it was in an 60 and over community. If these people had lived in the Jimmy Buffett retirement community, like, that would be fine. Like, everybody would have their Hawaiian shirt on. It would be no big deal. Like, there is 100% a market for this type of retirement home.
There totally is.
Fucking Jimmy Buffett is going to make $1 billion on this idea.
Yeah, it's a $1 billion project. Registration has been open for 2 weeks, and it's already received over 10,000 registrations.
Yeah. I'm just going to guess where this is going to be located.
Oh, I've already said it, but have a guess.
Did you say Florida?
Yes, okay. Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Guys, we should get in early.
Yeah.
Buy one of these.
Yeah.
It's going to be worth money.
Yeah, let's get a condo.
So.
Let's go in.
Might be a good investment.
We'll shack up. Ed, you in?
And if we can't get rid of it, yeah. It turns out to be a terrible investment, we have somewhere to go.
Exactly.
Later.
I'm in.
You know how it's such a drag for, like, you know, kids to have to go to, like, their grandparents' retirement village? Can you imagine if, like, grandma was in the Margaritaville thing and be like, yeah, come on, we got to go spend time with grandma. And it's just a bunch of dudes in Hawaiian shirts, like, and mahalo and stuff.
Spring break for geriatrics.
Yeah. I one time was in, I was in the vicinity, like maybe I was at a bar near an arena where Jimmy Buffett was playing, and the crowd that like poured out of the arena into the bar was like the Luftwaffe had rolled in. It was horrible.
He has a rabid fan base. All I want is like 1%. I want like 1% of that many people to start listening
That's
to this
right.
show.
Parrot heads.
Yeah. We need our own kind of heads.
And also
baller heads.
Just a just a little bit of run on from that story.
Yes.
Buffett's greatest hits will serve as the inspiration for a Broadway musical titled Escape to Margaritaville.
Ed,
you've got to be kidding me.
Ed, you're well known to peruse the Great White Way. You've seen many, many Broadway shows.
Broadway's a little far for us, but good news, the show will debut this May with a 6-week run at La Jolla, California's La Jolla.
It's too
Playhouse.
Far. Too far.
No,
it's like 45 minutes
go.
South.
I was going to say, if it were in New York, if we could raise enough money, I'd go and review it.
Kickstarter.
But
we might have to do that.
We got to do that for you. You need to go and review it. We'll raise the money. I'm good for $50. You have to go.
No. I'd rather drive to Oklahoma.
just get your balls worked on.
All right. Is that it, Kate?
I got one more.
One more.
I got one more piece of Hollywood news.
Yeah, the real news.
Good news.
Yep. Yes.
11 years after.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was released.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We are getting Indiana Jones 5.
Whoa.
Jesus.
For the geriatric demographic.
With Shia? Is he going to repair with Shia? LaBeouf?
LaBeouf's name's not mentioned.
Ugh.
Harrison Ford, directed by Steven Spielberg.
Didn't LaBeouf talk shit on Spielberg
Probably.
After? Like,
he's
you don't want to.
He's such a, like, just. Like, insane.
Like, crazy. See, LaBeouf is like an Arian Foster. He's been, people have allowed him to think his opinion matters.
So he gives
and
it.
So then he talks shit on the guy who's like in charge of Hollywood. And now he's not going to be able to be in another great Indiana Jones movie. Ed Daly, I did not see The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I know you did. Will you be lining up for this next Indiana Jones picture?
Anyone who saw The Crystal Skull can't. In any capacity. I mean, even if you're unconscious, you can't show up at the theater. It's the worst.
Wasn't there an alien theme?
Yes, there was an alien theme. There was something where he hides in a refrigerator to survive a nuclear blast.
Yes, I heard about that, yeah.
But
you can't breathe in a refrigerator.
But the more troubling thing is, you know, Harrison Ford, who knows what he's up to? He's crashing planes into golf courses.
Smoking a lot of weed.
But
I mean, how old is he?
What?
70.
She's 74.
Has Spielberg come off the rails so much? Like, what were his recent? Like, he hasn't had a flawless career, but it's been pretty good. Like, to go back to this after the last one was so disastrous. What would be?
Yeah, what's in it for him?
He does good movies.
He's got all the money.
Well, it'll be the first time the franchise has been made under Disney.
Oh. They bought the
rights.
Because I think this might have been Lucasfilm also.
It probably was.
Aren't they going to...
it definitely was. Lucasfilm made the last one, and this is the Disney studio label.
I thought they were going to relaunch with, like, Chris Pratt as the new Indiana Jones. Is that just a rumor?
Well, maybe the handover is going to happen in this movie.
This could be a transitional.
But at the time, I remember the speculation was... He will hand off the franchise to Shia LaBeouf to be the next Indy.
Right.
Like that was the idea. I think he may have like maybe I'm imagining this, like he threw him the whip at the end or threw him the hat. Like that was kind of like, here you go. Idea. And then they're like, oh, wait a second. This guy's not going to be the star we thought he'd be. But
I think bad casting.
Maybe that's what they're doing again.
This Shia LaBeouf is such a twerp. Like Indiana Jones is the ultimate like adventurer, tough guy. Like he almost, knocks almost people out and shit. Yeah. Tom Selleck couldn't get out of his Magnum contract.
He would have been a good Indy too.
I totally agree. Okay, Kate, is that it?
Yeah, that's it for the news. But
the
news. I have some Patreon.
Oh, we have new Patreon subscribers.
It's really nice. Like every week.
New heroes get, like, every day.
A couple, and it's really,
yes. Yep.
It actually makes me really happy.
Yep. I saw someone got shamed. Someone got shamed on Twitter for not being a Patreon subscriber.
And I replied to that thread, but always joking.
Yes.
You guys know that.
Yes.
Are you straightening them out?
Unless
you
I'm right yelling at you in all caps.
Yes. Okay, Kate, who are our new heroes?
I would like to welcome Brent Booker.
I love you, Brent. Great dude.
Drew Vaz.
I know that guy. He's a nice guy.
Thank you, Drew.
And Keith Harbison.
Keith, you are a great dude.
Apparently, only dudes listen to this podcast.
Well, it's mostly dudes.
No.
Ladies, if you're out there, hit me up on Twitter. I feel like there's no girls listen to, to us.
Hit up the sauce.
And I need to know that I have some females out there.
Yeah, where are my females at?
Yeah. Besides my personal.
They'll be all over our 20 minutes discussion about vasectomies.
Yeah, oh, totally. They'll love that. Okay, well, we appreciate all our Patreon listeners. Patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. And we're going to do more Patreon-only content maybe next week. I need some ideas. We could do an ask. We could do questions. Q&A. Yeah, Ed's always got ideas. Okay, until next week, for Kate McManus, for Ed Daly, for special guest Mark the Nomad, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 159 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
See you guys.
Thank you.